Welcome to the Talk with Tori podcast. I'm your host, Tori Jones, and I'm so glad that you're here. It's time to have some fun. On each episode, I will chat with a friend and we will share random life topics, tips and tricks, fun stories, and more serious stories filled with some real talk to make you laugh, maybe cry, make you think, but most of all, bring a smile to your face. We all have a story to share, so I hope you enjoyed this one. So grab your favorite Starbucks, a glass of wine, water, I don't care, you do you, girl, because it's time to peel back the layers and add a little spice to it. We're here! What's up, Carrie? How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you.
Good. Well, thank you so much for being on Talk with Tori. I'm super excited to get to chat with you, to get to learn from you. You have so much wisdom and excitement to give to everyone, and I'm all into your cheetah headband right now.
Thank you. I actually told someone this week, I was like, I consider a cheetah print a neutral.
They're like, I don't know that. Okay. I love that.
They're like, I don't know if I believe that. I was like, oh no, it just goes with everything. Thank you.
Cheetah goes literally with everything. I mean, at least I wear it with everything. I could be wearing stripes and then I'm like, oh, I'll add cheetah, or I'll be wearing pink and I'll add cheetah or anything. Yeah. Cheetah. It makes it everything cute.
I wore a striped dress and cheetah shoes yesterday. So I'm with you.
What's cuter? I have a lot of cheetah shoes, but I have these cheetah booties that are like my favorite shoes to wear. And I think people in the winter think that's like the only shoes I have because I wear them every single day. So, okay. Well, I love that. Well, I'm so excited, y'all, to introduce you to my friend, Carrie. Carrie and I grew up together in Alexandria, Louisiana. I don't even think I've told y'all where I'm from. Y'all know I'm a Louisiana girl, but Alexandria, Louisiana. So we're both Louisiana girls. We grew up in the same hometown, went to church together most of our lives, and kind of just ran in some similar circles at different points of our life. And she has like done all the things, and like we've like gone all over the world in different paths. Like I have, you know, moving to new places and doing all the things. So also, Carrie just turned 30. Like I just turned 30.
Yay.
But I had a white Christmas in July party. Yours was so cute. And I actually was with a bunch of friends this weekend. And I told all of them, I was like, y'all, this girl I'm going to interview on my podcast had a 30th and on 30A. I was like, why didn't I think of that? I'm all into the themes. That is so cute. Was it so fun?
It was so much fun. So my best friend and my mom and I were supposed to go to London for my 30th birthday.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Ireland, annoying COVID.
Obviously didn't happen. And so we started thinking about other fun trips, and that's what we landed on. And it was the best. We had a really great time.
Okay. Well, that's like the cutest thing ever. And so one of my girlfriends was like, wait, I'm like stealing that for my 30th. So you like totally just started a trend, and I'm sure a lot of people here are going to be like, oh my gosh, I have to do that. Yeah. Like I had all these like high aspirations for my 30th. Like I had a bucket list for all the things I was going to do before I was 30. And a lot of them like would have happened in those few months and they didn't. So I'm just like, well, it's going to be the next decade, you know? But I had like all these aspirations for my party, like a band, like very all out. Well, obviously we could only do 15 people because, you know, you can't just right. do like a major blowout right now. So it was perfect. I loved it. Josh planned all of it. And so we're going to talk all about parties today. So yeah, we're going to talk about parties. I love parties. I love themes. I love all of it. So also you do like lettering and crafting and like you're into all of that. So tell us a little bit about how you do that. I'm so bad at all the stuff like that, but I love to buy it. So tell us about it.
Well, okay. So I tell people I got into lettering because I didn't pay attention in health class when I was a sophomore in high school. So health was just a dumb class, you know, we all have to take. And so my best friend, Katie, and I, who went on the 30th birthday trip with me.
I love Katie.
We would just write notes back and forth during health class. And, you know, that was, you know, late early 2000s. And so all the markers and the bubble letters, and I just really perfected my handwriting during that time.
It's so cool. Y'all gotta go see it.
Well, thank you. And so I've kind of morphed into, I do more cookie decorating now, but it's fun because I can still write on cookies, and I love it. It's so fun.
That's so cute. Well, I mean, that's probably telling us a little bit about you. So now let's like tell everyone all the things about you and a fun or funny story or memory that you think people would want to hear about.
Okay. Well, I tore, like you said, I grew up in Alexandria, Louisiana, went to LSU. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
So did my undergrad and grad school there. I really loved it a lot. And I have two younger brothers and a sister-in-law. And so going to kind of talk about them a lot today, especially as we talk about traditions and holidays, which is really fun. But I'm the only girl on both sides of my family. So no girl cousins, like nothing, like it is all me. And so that's
all about Carrie. I always like to say it was all about me, but there were two other girl cousins.
Well, you know, you could have still made it all about you. No judgment at all. And so, yeah, so that's been really fun. And definitely when I think about hosting, I think that's kind of where I got so much of it from, because I was the only girl and I loved doing all the girly things. So I feel like sometimes when girls are the only girl, they become kind of tomboyish. But for me, I just embraced all things pink and sparkly Same. And animal print, and I was all in. And so that's kind of, I guess, a little bit of that background. I do have a dog, a miniature dachshund named Nana. She's the sweetest. And I live in Nashville now. I don't believe I said that, but I live in Nashville and I work for Lifeway and Fuge Camps. And my little fun fact is I've actually run 2 marathons and 6 half marathons in Disney World or Disneyland. And so we wear costumes and the whole shebang.
Oh my gosh.
Super fun.
I love that. I love following all y'all's costumes. I did a half marathon, the only half marathon I ever did and probably ever will do again. But Belle's my favorite princess. And so
I remember you and your mom's costumes.
Yeah, she was Cinderella. I was Belle. And we went with a bunch of other girls and they were like the different princesses. But I remember them being like, Tori, why are you choosing Belle? Because you're blonde. They were like, why don't you be Aurora? Why don't you do something else? And I was like, I will, but I feel like I'm cheating on Belle. I don't care that I'm a blonde. Like, I can't cheat on her. Like, she's always been my favorite. So it was so fun.
She's my favorite too. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And so you're Disney obsessed like me.
Yes.
Have you been to Disney since the pandemic?
I have not been since it's reopened. So
me either. My brother went and said it was the best time he ever had at Disney because he rode everything 20,000 times.
That's what I've heard from so many people. So we're planning a trip for the fall. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get to go to. I feel like this might be the longest time I've never gone without Disney, and I'm sure you too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's like been really weird not being able to go. So tell us, this might be, talking about the happiest place on earth, what would you say is your happy place?
Oh, I would for sure say Disney World. I just love it. And one of my brothers, Evan, worked there for several years through the college program, and then he worked there full time. And so we went all the time. I mean, Tori, a few years ago, we were going to Disney World like 7 times a year.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And so it just, and you know, we're kind of going to talk about this, I'm sure, but home has kind of changed for me in the past 4 years, but Disney has just been a constant. And not that I think Disney World is my home. Like, I'm not moving into Cinderella.
It is.
Castle.
It is one of my homes. I consider it. It is. It feels like home when you go. I don't Absolutely. Know how it can.
And I just, you know exactly what to expect. The food, the rides, so many of my favorite things. And so I just love it. And Disney.
What's your favorite ride?
Well, the new Star Wars ride is the craziest, wildest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Everyone is saying that. And, you know, I was planning on riding it. And of course, not exactly yet. But, and I refuse to watch the videos of it because I'm like, everyone keeps saying, okay, do not spoil
so smart.
It.
Yes, I did not know anything about it before I stepped on. And I'm so glad I didn't know anything.
Well, I'm Disney obsessed too. I love it. My family loves it. Me, my brother now lives in Orlando, so he can have a season pass and go to Disney. Yes. I mean, also for his job, but like that was a major perk too. And so we just love it and we miss it. Actually, this is funny. You know, my brother Jackson, he went on a trip with his girlfriend and some friends and like, but they were doing like a week. So the first part of the week they were going with like some of their friends to Cabo. And then he was meeting all of us in Orlando for Disney. And she was like, I have like never seen anything like it. Like we were going to Cabo. He was like, yeah, okay, cool. And then they got on the flight. Oh, next part's Disney. And she was like, he was like a different person. Like, oh my gosh, we're going. I was like, that's how I feel every time. So I love that that's your happy place. I've been thinking about my happy place lately, and that's definitely on my top 5. I just feel like a different person when I go. So thanks for sharing that. So, okay, Nashville's like the new happen in place? What's your favorite part of living there? Was that ever a place that you thought you would live, or was it totally random? For me, moving to Auburn, Alabama was about as random as they come. So Nashville's not quite as random. So tell me about how you ended up in Nashville.
Yeah, so my dad actually grew up here. And so
we
visit Nashville all the time growing up. That's where my grandparents live. I have family here. And so for me, Nashville was always the dream city. That's where I always wanted to end up. And so I kind of had a few opportunities to move here before for like grad school or for internship and things like that. And I kind of always found an excuse not to. So when I finished grad school, kind of realized it's time to go. Like, I feel like I've been telling the Lord no long enough. Like, it's time to pack my bags and get to Nashville. So I've been here for 4 years now.
Doesn't time fly? And you bought a house. Isn't it so fun to own a house? I like love it.
So fun. I really love it.
I mean, for me, it's been over 4 years. So yeah, I love visiting Nashville. I go a lot for work and just for different events and stuff. And so it's so pretty. I feel like everybody and their mom and their sister and their brother is trying to move out to Nashville. Because it's
absolutely.
So if I went to Nashville, what's the number one thing I should make sure I see?
Okay, the concerts at the Ryman Auditorium are
my favorite thing
in the world. I love seeing live music. That's probably my favorite thing in Nashville. So actually, like the week the shutdown started in March, I had tickets for 3 different shows that week alone. So I see
that's
concerts.
Terrible.
I know. I'm so sad.
Who were you going to go see?
I was going to see Sidewalk Prophets at the Ryman. I was going to see Ben Rector at the Ryman. And then have you ever seen the TV show Schitt's Creek?
My husband's obsessed. There's someone named Moira on that show.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
He's obsessed with it. I have a really good friend here named Moira, and I hear the little do-do-do-do-do-do switch into the next episode, but he watches it when I'm in the bathtub because I'm not funny like that. I wish I was funny like that. Like, I don't get it. He's like, you don't laugh at this kind of stuff.
Well, one of the guys from Schitt's Creek, he actually is a singer and a musician. And so I had tickets to go see him, but unfortunately, all of those did not happen. Yeah.
But Schitt's Creek is like the show right now. He like
it
loves
is.
It.
It's
Everyone's loves it. So speaking of shows, is that what you're binging or do you have any shows?
So I'm like rewatching that one for the third time right now.
Third time. Okay. So maybe I should start it.
Okay, so I have to say, the first time I watched the episode, someone recommended it to me, watched the pilot, and I said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I hate this. But I think my brother Christopher would think it's really funny. And so Christopher came in town a few weeks later and said, hey, watch this pilot with me. I think you'll think it's funny. Yeah. And when I watched it for the second time, something happened, and I was so hooked. And we watched the entire first season that week. So,
oh, wow.
Give it another try. It took me more than once, but once I was in, I was sold.
Well, like, I am so, like, Parks and Rec and The Office and stuff, I just, like, never laughed. And, like, I'm like, maybe something's wrong with me. Like, I, like my husband will be, like, dying over there, like, crying, laughing. And I'm just, like, looking. And so, but everyone loves them. So I need to do it. I think doing it twice is the key. I need to try it again. Do you have any other shows that you're, like, obsessed with?
I've really been reading a lot recently. Ooh. So I haven't been watching as much TV, but this weekend I watched all 3 of the Disney Descendant movies, like Disney Channel original.
Were they
movies.
Good?
I mean, kind of like in a terrible kind of way. I really enjoyed them. So, I mean, they're not winning any Academy Awards or anything, but I enjoyed them way more than I thought I would.
I have loved having Disney Plus. Like, that's been a game changer. Actually, some people I was at the beach with this weekend were talking about so they're married and they each made a list of every week of the year. So, you know, 52 of their top Disney movies and compared their list. And then they put them together and they're going to watch one every week.
So fun.
I'm going to do something like that.
That's such a great idea.
And so, like, they watched Flubber, which I've already watched Flubber twice since we've had Disney Plus and all the things. So, honestly, I've been binge-watching Disney Plus, and I want to read 30 books this year for 30, and I've only read 1, and I've been 30 for over a month. So, that inspires
me. Tori, I keep this really intense Google spreadsheet of all the books I read. It goes back, like, 5 years, and so I will send it to you because...
You need... Okay. We need to share it with all the people.
I will share it because I'm really proud of this list. I've worked really hard on it and I like rank every book. I tell if it's like by a female author or a person of color who wrote the book.
Their fiction, my gosh. So it's like detailed.
I give like a little blurb of it. So I will share it with you because I love to read and I love sharing books.
Okay, well, you just saved everyone's life from researching books because that's how you hear of everything you hear from people. So thank you for sharing that. I'm about to get my 30 books in. All right, so let's talk about the holidays because holidays are coming up and we are in a pandemic. And so life is looking different for everyone, whether we want it to or not. And a lot of people that listen to, you know, this podcast also, you know, are probably going through a lot of transitions like we all are, because whether a pandemic or moving after school or switching jobs or moving to a new place or getting married or, you know, whatever it might be, holidays are going to change and situations are going to change. So what is your very favorite holiday tradition?
So my favorite holiday is my birthday, which I know that's probably like not the best answer, but we've always done celebrations so big in my family.
I love it.
So since we were little bitty, we've just done these big celebrations. And so I just love my birthday so much. But aside from my birthday, it's definitely Christmas.
Okay, cool. I love Christmas too. I am obsessed with holidays. Okay. So I love, obviously, so when I got married, everything had to do with the holiday. My bachelorette party was Toys Last Single Jingle, Toes Ho Ho Hoes. My wedding was Mardi Gras. One shower was around Thanksgiving. And I'm trying to think what else was, something else was a Mardi Gras theme. Like everything was to do with the holidays. Like, oh, and my engagement party was on New Year's Eve. And so one of my cousins was like, you've like taken every holiday, but
I love it. I think that's awesome.
I love
celebrating. I love all the plates and the decorations, like every bit of it. Easter, Christmas, 4th of July. Like I decorate for all of it. I love it all.
So I wanted you to come on the podcast because I've always admired y'all's attention to detail and traditions and celebrating and all the details and all the things that y'all are good at. And so, like I kind of said before, we're all transitioning right now, whether it's the pandemic, whether we're moving, whether we're getting married, whether we, you know, are switching jobs or whatever. So I know you've gone through a lot of transitions over the past few years. Do you want to kind of share what that's looked like for you and your family?
Yeah. So I grew up, like I said, in Louisiana, and all of my mom's family, most of my mom's family was in our hometown. And so aunts, uncle, cousins, like all of that, we were just all there together, which was super fun and just a really fun way to grow up. And so I moved to Nashville in 2016. Okay. And shortly after moving, actually in the same day, I found out that my parents were getting a divorce and I had gotten a new job. And so that's a lot of things to process in one day.
Sorry,
And then on top of that, that same week, found out that my grandmother who lived here in Nashville had ovarian cancer. And
oh my
so
gosh.
It was just a crazy week where a lot of things happened at one time. And so obviously that shifted a lot of the family dynamics. So that's been about 4 years ago now. But then at the same time, like Christopher, my youngest brother, got married a couple years ago. So I have a wonderful new sister-in-law now that has just been the best addition.
She's
to
so our cute.
She's so cute and so fun. And she actually lived with me one summer. She had an internship here in Nashville.
Oh
and
gosh.
So that was really fun to get to know her that way. And so so my mom lives in Nashville now. She moved here a couple years ago. And
so does she love it?
Love it so much.
Yeah.
It's really fun to just live in the same town as your mom. She lives about 20 minutes south of me. And that's just been definitely different though. And so I think for me, thinking about family dynamics, you know, my brother Evan and I are super, super close. And he lives in Portland, Oregon now. And so, you know, Portland is not necessarily as easy to get to as Disney World was when he lived there. And so definitely thinking about holidays and traditions, so much of what we took for granted and what happened every single year has totally been flipped the past few years. And so I'm really excited to just talk about what that looks like and what we've done in the place of tradition or normalcy.
Yeah, I really love you sharing that. You know, no matter what your family's going through, and I'm so sorry your family, y'all had to go through all that, because I know that that's really, really tough. And so I appreciate you being open and sharing about that with us. But, you know, talking about transitions, you know, my family, we all live in four different places. And so, you know, I live here in Auburn, but then I got married. So then that's another group of people that are involved. And then my brothers are both dating people. One lives in the Orlando area. One lives in Fort Worth. And then my parents still live in Alexandria. So it is really hard to get together. And I think the one thing that I think y'all do well, and I also think my family does well, is you just have to make the effort and you just have to be willing to pivot and be willing to create new traditions and just adjust and be okay with that. So, but what has been like your favorite, I know you said your favorite holiday is birthday, but what has been like your favorite tradition that you've been able to keep through all this?
So my favorite tradition for so many years now is we always make gingerbread houses at Christmas.
I've seen y'all's pictures. It is so cute every year. I always vote.
So fun. So how this works is my mom makes all the gingerbread houses ahead of time and gets everything. Yes, she builds them all. It's
oh my God. Crazy.
I know, it's seriously, so she buys the kit. So she's not like making gingerbread.
Oh, okay. I was like, but I wouldn't put it past your mom to make them.
I wouldn't put it past her. Toya. Anyone could, Toya could. But she builds all the gingerbread houses. So they're already built. And then we kind of like set a timer and build. In the past few years, we've been doing like an Instagram competition where people can vote on the best one.
Yeah, I voted.
It's been really fun. Thank you. I won last year. Just wanted to throw that out there. And so that's been really fun. And so that's been something that has just been fun and lively. And that was a really easy tradition to like bring to Nashville with us. So that's something just our group of friends just.
So you have new people, not just your family anymore.
Exactly. And so inviting friends over, and we actually, some of my closest friends from back home, they just moved to Nashville and are living here. And one of the first things he asked me was, hey, are we doing gingerbread houses this year?
And you're like, yes. Wife
and daughter's like, hey, we're going over to the Dodsons and we're going to make gingerbread houses. And
that's so fun.
It's just really fun that that's a tradition that even friends that we had in Louisiana that just happen to live in Nashville now, to still be able to bring that is really cool.
Yeah, I really love that. And the funny thing is I've always known about your gingerbread houses because it's like a thing in our town. Like everyone's like, the Dodson gingerbread houses are like the big deal. So I love that you're able to bring them, because that's one thing with new traditions I've been thinking in my head, like, what I would want to do for the future. And there's so much I would create, like I want to create as my own, but then there's so many things I've loved. So what has been a tradition that maybe you weren't able to keep, but y'all were able to kind of still do in some type of capacity? Because gingerbread, you can kind of make it pretty similar.
Absolutely. So kind of one of the things that really, thinking about 2020 and things that are going to be different, is just some things, honestly, like there's been a lot of hurt in our family the past several years. And so one of my favorite traditions growing up was that every Christmas Eve, we would all sit around and read the Christmas story. A different kid got to like read the Christmas story every year out of Luke. And then we would all like go around the circle and pray. And it's just like a really sweet time in our family of just like praying for what the Lord had done that year and what was to come. And honestly, Tori, this is just something the past few years has almost been too painful to recreate. And it's not that we don't pray. It's not that we're not reading the Bible. Yes. Like, we are still doing those things, but not
it's
in the
hard.
Context of the Christmas Eve tradition of what that looks like. And so I think, you know, it has kind of been just a repivoting or positioning. Like, we don't have to. The past doesn't have to be the present. And so when there are things that were like, that maybe aren't going to be possible for this year or last year or in the future, like it's okay to let go of some things.
Yes. Like,
and, but then at the same time, it can be really fun to, you know, let go of some things that maybe no one actually even liked. Like, I was reading a book recently and this girl was saying that one of the traditions in their family was that her sister had shrimp every year for her birthday. And they asked her like, hey, what do you want for your sides with the shrimp this year? And she's like, I actually don't like shrimp. And so
That's so true. We never ask.
We never ask. And so I think that maybe this could be a really great year to maybe reevaluate some of those traditions that, hey, like maybe nobody actually likes going out in the cold and looking at Christmas lights. Like if we fight the whole time that we're doing that, like maybe
let's change it.
Yeah, like maybe we can change that. And so I think being willing to change has been a really important part for me about making new traditions and changing traditions as well.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've appreciated y'all's openness with all of it because I think it's so encouraging. And who knew that God was going to have y'all be the people that could speak upon this, because you've been doing it the past few years and everyone this year has to do it. Yeah, so to me, like, what a message that you really can relate to people that are kind of stressed and going through some of that. So what do traditions kind of mean to you?
Yeah, so I just grew up in the best, most fun family. Like we...
Yes.
Always, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, it was just fun to be a Dodson and we included lots of people. Like there were always tons of people at our house. And so I think when I think about traditions, I just think about being a person of remembrance. And so even like looking through scripture, there's so many times that people are called to be people of remembrance and to remember what God has done and to remember like where the point to which God has brought you. And I'm not at all saying that I think like our gingerbread houses are like the Israelites remembering the Passover. Like I don't want to say I think those things are the same.
But it means stuff.
Some of our traditions I think are so special and sacred and sweet in a way of remembering like maybe there's family members that aren't able to be a part anymore of things and bringing them in. And honestly, it's been so fun to introduce like my sister-in-law to some of our family traditions. So even if we're in Gatlinburg, because we did that for Thanksgiving for so many years, to introduce Rachel to our favorite restaurants and our favorite hikes and things. Like that's just been so sweet to kind of introduce her to the of our family by letting her see like the past and what we've done in the before now.
So, is it so, it's so different kind of like weaving families in. I know kind of like talking about how, you know, Disney can kind of be your home and things are different. So, you know, one thing, this will be my first Christmas not in Louisiana. And so it's really going to be bizarre for me, honestly, a little bit different. It's my parents' first Christmas without any kids home. And so it'll be different. So I think they'll like go on a trip or something. We're going to celebrate around New Year's and do everything the same, but it will be different. So what would you say, like, what would be your advice to people starting a new season of change and how your family has been able to do it with, and you individually have been able to do it with such, you know, compassion and excitement and still loving holidays and traditions and not, you know, being so sad all the time during a holiday, because y'all still just love it.
We do. And I think that's kind of been what's been important for us is to recognize, okay, yes, Christmas might be hard this year. It might be different from the past, but we still love Christmas. Like we are still celebrating our Savior's birth. And so that is enough to rejoice over. And so I think for us, well, one thing for me personally that was really important is when my first year of grad school, I got to be friends with this girl who had had a lot of just had a terrible personal tragedy. And she was telling me that the first year that that had happened, her family went on a cruise for Christmas. And she said, the reason we did that was because we knew it was going to be totally different. And it didn't have any expectations of what Christmas should be like.
Oh, that's
and so obviously that was before I knew that I would ever need Christmas to be different, but that has been really, I think that was so helpful for me to remember now that like this past year, it was just going to be me, my mom and Evan for Christmas. And so when you go from like cousins and loud and
it's different
everywhere to all of a sudden, it's just three of you. Like that's so different. So we went on a Disney cruise.
And was it fabulous?
So fabulous. The best. I mean, when Mickey Mouse and Minnie are in their black tie and like tartan dresses to welcome you to a Christmas Eve dinner. And then
you were there Christmas, like
you were there on Christmas.
And they made it Christmassy.
It was Christmassy on Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
It snowed and like Mickey and Minnie were in their Christmas sweaters. Like it snowed in the cruise ship, like Disney magic. And so that was just something, it was fun and exciting and new. And I don't think like going on a Disney cruise is the only way that you can have a good Christmas if you're having a hard year. But
for y'all, it was perfect.
For us, it was so perfect. And it was different. And I think it allowed us to be okay with the different. Like, mm-hmm. It was a good transition to, hey, this is totally different than anything we've done in the past. And this is going to help us bridge a new normal.
Oh my God. Will y'all do it again?
Well, we were supposed to go back this year.
To another Christmas Disney cruise.
Yes, another
Christmas. Oh my gosh. Okay.
But obviously, cruises aren't really happening right now. No. So we're trying to figure out something different, maybe looking at getting a beach house or something like that, but still kind of creating. And I think Evan and I had this conversation a lot. If we wake up on Christmas morning and it was just going to be the three of us, we knew, because of what Christmas had always been in the past, we just knew how heavy that would probably be and difficult. Yeah. And so we wanted it to be brand new. And so that's what worked for us. And it was honestly a great, really great Christmas.
Well, this is a brand new Christmas for me too. So I'll be right there on Christmas morning. I'm excited. And it'll be different because I haven't been with kids on Christmas in a long time. So I have nieces and nephews now. And so they'll be, you know, excited for Santa and all the things that I haven't experienced. I mean, I still believe in Santa.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still believe in Santa. And so we still do Santa, but it'll be totally different with children. So that'll be fun. It'll be very, very different and in a good way though. It's going to be really, really good. And then we'll figure out a way to make New Year's the new Christmas, kind of like y'all made Cruise the new Christmas. So it's like going to be like really, really cool. But I love that. Okay. So what about what is like one of the random holidays that you just love? Like, I love Mardi Gras on St. Patrick's Day. Do you have like a small holiday that people don't think about that you just go all out?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's like super small, but 4th of July has always been a huge holiday in our family. So growing up, for my mom's friend, like my mom's parents' friends, that was like their friend holiday. So all my grandparents' friends came to town every 4th of July and like all their grandkids.
Y'all match.
Yes, we always match.
And I love matching. So I love it.
Oh, I love any excuse to wear a matching t-shirt. And so it was so fun. And so we love 4th of July. Like, that's been always really, really fun for us. And I love Valentine's Day too. Like, whether I'm dating someone or not, like whether it's like Valentine's Day or Valentine, I don't care. Like, I love all the glitter and the heart.
That's why I like it.
And the red. Like, I just love it all. And it's not like, I'm not one of those people who gets like sad if I don't have a boyfriend. Like, I'm just like, I just love love and it's so fun. And
I love that it's pink and red and glitter and hearts and so cute. And I love Valentine's Day too.
Same. Yeah. So, I mean, I decorate for it. I love it.
Well, I always say like, there are so many holidays. Like, when you really think about it, there's a holiday coming up constantly. I mean, if you're doing Cinco de Mayo, Derby, Easter, there's constantly a holiday and like, it's constantly a reason to celebrate and bring people together. And so I love holidays and I love themes. And so kind of moving into outside of holidays, y'all love to host.
Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all love hosting. I love hosting.
We do. Yeah.
I love having people over. I am not the world's best cook like you are, so I can't wait to hear more about this. Josh is a better cook than me. I'm okay at it, but I'm not as natural at it as some people are. But I love to host. I love to have people. I love people coming into my house. That's how I was growing up. So like, I have never really thought about it being a big deal. But what I've realized as I've gotten older, a lot of people are very intimidated by hosting.
Oh, yes.
They really worry about it. They feel like their house has to be perfect. They stress about what to make. So what would you say are some tips about how to be a good host? Because you love to host, you love to cook, you love an excuse to have a party, and you're good at it. So tell us what we need to do.
Okay, so one of the things I would say is just do it. Like, I think so many people are so intimidated by their house doesn't look like they still need to finish decorating this shelf, or they haven't finished repainting this bathroom or this piece of furniture. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if
no one cares.
Nobody cares. And I read something recently that said, like, when you walk into someone's home, are you thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe they didn't decorate that shelf? No, you're like to be in their home. And the same thing should be true of you, that you're excited to like welcome people in. And just, it's easy. Like, if you love to cook, awesome. Cook a meal. That's so great. If you don't love to cook, get a bag of chips and a can, like jar of salsa. Like,
yes.
So great. Like, it doesn't, you know, you can do like a dessert night. Like, everyone bring your favorite roll of Toll House cookie dough. Yeah, it can.
Yes.
I think we make it too big of a deal and we make it so intimidating when in reality, people just want a space to be themselves. Like, we spend so much time being fake or doing things for Instagram or putting on a show. And I think a place where people can be real is so needed. And so I think, like, for me, I have girls that come over every single Monday night and watch The Bachelor together.
Me too.
It's so fun. And so, like,
and guys like it too. It's guys, they like it. They don't like to admit it. They don't like to admit it, but they want to watch it too. And I know, like, they're not watching. I'll look over there and I'm like, you are peeking over here.
I know. It's so fun. And so it's just, and you know what, when I first started inviting a couple girls over, they didn't even all know each other, but they were all girls that I knew that loved The Bachelor. And I just asked and they said yes. And so now it's something that we look forward to every week and we've gotten really close. Like, these have become, even though they didn't know each other before, this has become a really close group of friends. And usually I cook, but sometimes we order pizza or things like that. And it's just been something that, because it's every single week, I don't feel the need to put on a show or go all out. It's just a way for people to get together and watch a show that's kind of dumb, but we also really love it. Yeah. So it's been great. I mean, we made it through Listen to Your Heart. So if we
make it through Listen to Your Heart. Is that not weird?
Oh, I am so here for Chris and Brie. Okay. Oh, their album that they released, I listen to way more often than I should.
Okay, I like Bachelor in Paradise and some of those as well. I don't know if you're watching Love Island right now, but it's kind of like Bachelor in Paradise. And so that's kind of...
Okay, I haven't watched it, but that's what I've heard.
It's kind of cheesy. I mean, it's cheesy, just like Bachelor in Paradise. But what I like is that it's like real life happening right now. There's just not a lot real life right now because, I mean, no one's doing that. So it's like, that's why I'm kind of into it. But I totally agree. So I do Bachelor Nights as well. And I completely agree with that because, like, sometimes what we'll do a lot, like talking about hosting, is we all watch it together. But we started at 7:30 so we can DVR it. And most people eat before or bring their food, and like some, like maybe the finale or some, or we'll cook and be like, I'll be like, hey, I'm having chili tonight, so don't eat, or eat if you want to, or whatever. Or some people, some weeks will be like, oh, I make cookies for everyone. Or we don't host, we don't have anything. People come with their hair wet and we just hang out. Like, it doesn't have to be this big thing, but it can be as all out as you want it to be. And absolutely, I think that's what's cool is, you know, for the finale, we'll be like, everyone bring something, or let's do this, or, you know, whatever. But every week we don't worry about it. And then people don't feel the pressure every Monday to be like, oh gosh, I went to work, I had a terrible day. You want to be like, I get to go see my friends. I think The Bachelor has brought so many people. That's kind of like me. I'm like, come over, we watch Bachelor at 7:30. This is what I always say. Whoever wants to come, come. I never know who's coming. We're just like, just do it. It's going to be fun. And some people I've watched The Bachelor with, there's one guy named Josh. Not my husband, Josh, a different Josh, friend Josh. I have watched it with him since I moved to Auburn 6.5 years ago. We watched, I had moved here and happened to be like here one week and he said he watched it. So I was like, I don't know a soul here, so let's watch it. He still comes over every week and watches it with me. So it's really fun. Yeah. And then some people, like I have a girl that told me the other day, she was like, I heard you like watch The Bachelor. So can I, like, two girls are going to come this time that have never come before. So you just never know. Life is in and out, but that is the best tip of hosting. It does not have to be perfect.
Here's another tip that has been so helpful to me is it's okay to have a flavor of your home. So I know sometimes people will say, like, I'm only good at making like taco ring, or all I know how to make is chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
Well, you know what? When you go to your grandma's house and she asks what you want for your birthday, most people request the same thing every single year.
Yes.
You always want your grandma to make you this one thing. And so that's okay. That's your signature thing. Like, you don't have to know how to make a million things or be so good at, like, have one dish. And that can just be like the flavor of your home. And people know, hey, when I'm going to Carrie's house, this is what I'm going to eat.
So what is your flavor?
Well, okay. So taco ring is probably the thing that is like always.
Okay. We need to tell everyone.
Oh my gosh. It's like embarrassingly easy because I feel like I'm a pretty good cook and I love to cook. And this is the easiest thing I make, but people love it. And so I
can do it.
So you buy 2 cans of crescent rolls, okay, a pound of ground beef, a pack of taco seasoning, and cheese. And you just literally like make a ring of the crescent rolls, put the seasoned beef on it, put cheese on top, roll it up, and bake it in the oven.
And it's that good.
It is so good. And like sometimes if I want to be fancy, I'll put like guacamole in the center, whatever. But it's so basic, but it's always a hit. Like people love tacos and it can be ready in less than 30 minutes, which is great.
We all work over here.
Yes, absolutely.
We got a lot going on. Well, my signature, I feel like, is chili. That's like my favorite. It's my favorite. My favorite food's spaghetti, which is easy and always good. And then chili is always easy. It makes it for a lot. It's cheap, but it's always good. Not many people don't like chili. And so people know like Tori loves chili. And so that's what you eat. And okay, so give us cooking tips. I like that about having a signature. What about like recipes? So are you big on following a recipe or do you kind of create it on your own or how does that kind of work?
Yeah, I'm actually a recipe follower. Like okay. I like to find a recipe and then maybe tweak it a little bit once I've made it, like maybe add some more seasonings or something like that. But I honestly have kind of scaled back the recipes I make and really mainly rotate between like 5 or 6 dishes. Oh. And I feel like I've just gotten really good at those. Like I make taco ring, poppy seed chicken, lasagna. I mean, these are all really basic.
Okay, wait. So keep going. So your 5 things, these are good. Okay.
So I make taco ring, poppy seed chicken, lasagna, chicken enchiladas, and then
I remember this chicken enchiladas.
They're so good. They're so, so good. And then I've recently added in this Mexican cornbread that is out of this world. And so, but I just, wow, just honestly, like sometimes I'll throw in something different, which is great. Mm-hmm. But those are just kind of my go-tos. It's easy to always have the ingredients in the refrigerator. Like especially the lasagna and enchiladas, I always double them when I make them. So I can like keep some in the freezer. So have some ready really quickly.
So last minute, you're like, come on over.
Yes, because I think so many times when people entertain or something, they think it's got to be really fancy.
No, be like, come over in 5 minutes.
Exactly. And I want people to feel comfortable. Like I want people to see food on their plate that they're familiar with and comfortable and to feel homey and like to feel welcome in my house. And so I found that like go-to dishes or chocolate chip cookies or chocolate cake, like I used to try to go all out and I recently I've just made it a lot more basic and I feel like people leave happier and fuller.
That is great advice, especially now, like with no football, it's like such a big deal. It is the first time in my life I haven't had a fall with football. We went every weekend.
Yes.
So, this is the first time, but I do think it's going to be cool to see how people pivot with that. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, what we kind of are thinking we want to do is obviously you can't have, you know, a huge, huge gathering, but a smaller gathering where, you know, you bring a dish and you might have a different theme each week. So what's been like a fun hosting theme when I know you talked about a dessert night where everyone brings a dessert. Like, I think those are so cool. Mm-hmm. I was in a small group last year and we had a different theme each week and it was so fun. Like 1 week was cereal. 1 week was everyone's favorite takeout food. That was cool. 1 week was make pizza night. So do you have like a theme that like your friends love or that y'all do sometimes when you just want like a girls night or a hangout night for no reason? I love it. I love a party for no reason.
Well, this is something I've actually been trying to get better at because I love to do the whole meal from like start to finish. And so it's hard for me to even, like a few weeks ago, I asked some friends like, okay, can somebody bring chips and salsa and a dessert? And I literally was like, y'all, this is the first time I've ever asked anyone to bring something. Like, because legitimately, I'm just used to doing it all myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm trying to get better at letting others like help because I've found like people want
to. I'm bad about it too.
Want to do something. And so I'm trying to get better at that. But I love when you ask people to bring like a salty and a sweet, like to have
that's cute.
That because then you kind of get like a little bit of everything or have like girls bring something sweet, guys bring something salty. And so that can be fun just to like try out a bunch of different things. And then I've also done like, this one's funny, but like just like a grab bag night. So like everyone brings like something like in their freezer that's like microwavable.
I'm definitely doing that.
And so then like everyone's got this different like microwavable dish that
is that is fun. That is
it's funny to see. And I feel like that's an excuse people are like, oh my goodness, I haven't had this in like 20 years since I was in third grade, you know, eating
and
this.
You ate it. You ate the Chef Boyardee.
Exactly. So anyways, that's been really fun, I think.
Okay, those are cute. Yeah, I'm like bad about that too. People are like, what do I bring? And I'm like, yourself. But then if I go to someone's house, I want to bring something because like, yes. I feel weird. So now I've been better about being like, we don't have a dessert. If you would like to have dessert, feel free to bring a dessert. If not, whatever. Or, you know, and so, because I like to always bring something when I go somewhere. And one of my favorite podcasts, if you haven't listened to it, Welcome to the Fam podcast. You'd really
haven't listened to that.
There are two sisters out of five sisters. And they always talk about like fun recipes and they like to host parties and they always talk about how you have to bring something everywhere you go. And so it's like inspired me to like come up with creative things and all of that. So you'd really
well, I typically bring chocolate chip cookies anywhere I go.
Okay. You make them from scratch or from a box or the
I make them from scratch, but it's the Crisco recipe. Like it. Okay. So I know everyone gets really into like the Nestle Toll House recipe and it's fine, but the Crisco recipe is the best one and it's so good. And you can like leave the dough refrigerated in my refrigerator. So whenever I'm going somewhere, I just like pop them in the oven. They take 8 minutes to cook. And it's just, no one is mad when you show up with a warm chocolate chip cookie.
Never. Okay. This is my problem. I refuse to bake because I end up eating all of it. I've got to start baking and immediately go to the party with them warm. That's going to be my key because if I bake them or if someone brings something over there, I will eat the whole thing. I mean, I have no self-control with baked goods. I don't because I don't do it because of that. So that's what I need to do. That's a good tip. So, and I know, do you feel like you got your gift of hosting from your mom?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like my mom, her mom, just incredible hostesses. And they were just so good at it. But I think one of the things that I love, like, I think the best compliment anyone ever told me about like my house growing up is one time my friend Kevin told his wife Samantha, like, hey, I want our house to be like the Dodsons because I feel like if I break something, no one's going to care.
Yeah.
So I just felt like if people can say that about my home, that they feel so comfortable that if a glass breaks or something, like,
who cares?
It's okay because I want you here. And it doesn't matter. Like, things are so replaceable. It's more important to me that you feel comfortable in my home. And so I feel like my parents' house growing up, my grandparents' house, that's how I felt. Like, I just felt so loved and welcomed. And so even living in Nashville, having my own house, that's really what I've tried to create, like that kind of environment.
Yeah. I relate to you on that in so many ways. We always just wanted people growing up to just feel like they could come over no matter what, no matter what they looked like, no matter anything. And we like to have that here. Like, people just knock on the door and we love it. And we're like, come on in. We might be acting a fool, but come on in. It's going to be fun. Stay as long as you want. We don't care. Spend the night, like whatever you want to do. And so I just always think, you know, one thing that's to me so cool is when you let people into your mess and you let, like, you, it's not perfect every time that they come over. I think that's really cool. I remember, see, I've always admired how y'all make things from scratch. I still remember on prom night, I remember telling my mom, I was like, Mom, she straight up, her mom, we got home from prom and she straight up had homemade biscuits, homemade scratch from everything. I was like, I like couldn't get over it. And then like after the thing, we had things made from this. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and so it definitely inspires me to have attention to detail because for a special occasion, spending that extra time to me, I thought that was the coolest thing. I was like, she's like biscuits from scratch. I was like, we just straight up do the place on.
Well, and I think that's so important though, like making people feel like, I love that you remember that, you know.
Yeah, girl, I'll never forget it.
You don't know, like Tori and I double dated to our senior prom.
We did.
So we need, Tori, you
need, she was good friends with my years and years boo thing back in the day. I wonder if he's listening to this.
Yes. But so
he would love it.
Dating people that went to opposite schools.
Yeah.
So my boyfriend at the time went to Tori's school and Tori's boyfriend went to my school. So it was a fun time.
That was so fun. Mm-hmm. And I remember how sweet y'all were and how special your mom made the effort, you know, put a lot of effort into it. And I thought that was really, really neat. And I really admired that. So growing up, like I always noticed how if it was something special for y'all, it was special for her. So do you think that's where you got it from?
Absolutely. I think my mom just did such a good job of making everything intentional. So like even if, you know, we would just sit at the dining room table for dinner instead of, you know, sitting on the couch, or
That's cool.
You know, birthdays were just really special and things like that. And so, you know, my mom would have place cards and set the table really nice, and we would have candles. And so it didn't have to be a special occasion for it to be a special night. And so I think that that was so special, and something I've tried to incorporate even into my house now is just welcoming people in and making every day more fun. It's just a great time.
I love it. And I think that's awesome. And so one quick thing I want to talk about before we wrap up. So tell us what, I think your current job's really cool. And I know that the pandemic has affected it in a lot of ways. So will you really briefly kind of share with us more about what you do with Lifeway and how that's looked the past 6 months?
For sure. So I work for Fuge Camps, which is a division of Lifeway Students. We do camps all across the country. We've got 28 locations. We serve about 50,000 students and adults every summer.
I went. And Mission Fuge, I think.
What'd you say?
Do y'all do Mission Fuge and Centrifuge?
So okay, Centrifuge, I went for those. Infuge, like all of that is under us. And so it's just really fun. So personally, I get to lead four of our camp locations and the teams that are there. I do our leadership training, which is a part of my job that I really, really love for juniors and seniors in high school. And also I was a math major in undergrad. I have my MBA. And so I do all of our budgeting and
work.
Some of those aspects that some people think are not as fun, but I really love to get into the details with all of that. And so definitely, like you said, the last 6 months have been very different because we weren't able to do camp this summer.
So there were no camps.
No camps. Like Lifeway did not put on any summer camps. We did a couple of online experiences, but definitely very different from what we had originally planned. And so part of that is I ended up being furloughed for 6 weeks, which I know so many people have been furloughed during the season. And so for me, just kind of jumped full into the furlough and figured out, okay, I thought my days of summer vacation were kind of over. And so now I have these 6 weeks and what am I going to do with them? And so I tried to be super intentional with that time of getting some projects done around my house or visiting people that I maybe wouldn't normally be able to visit and things like that. So I love my job. I actually, on Time Hop, a tweet popped up a few weeks ago where 10 years ago I had tweeted, I would love to be a party planner for the rest of my life.
Oh my gosh, that's what you are.
That's kind of what I get to do. I get to plan events for students and adults and ministries. Like I love getting to work with local churches and put on camp for them. And so it's just, it's a crazy, wild job. I never thought. I mean, obviously you do not become a math major if you think you're going to be planning summer camps, but
it all goes together.
It all does go together. And I really love it.
I tell people that all the time. Cause I am the recruiter of the College of Liberal Arts at Auburn. And I mean, we have over 40 majors. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, I didn't go to college saying I was going to be the recruiter of the College of Liberal Arts. Right. Like, you don't go to college for that. I mean, I thought I might want to do recruiting or sales or something, but I mean, not specifically. And so I tell students all the time, I'm like, you never know what your major is going to help you with. You never knew that you having a math degree and an MBA would help you with budgeting with big, huge things. And so you can do anything with anything. And so I think that's a great story. And working for Lifeway, what a dream. I mean, the stuff that y'all put out there and do for the people to me is just really impactful.
It's honestly, it's overwhelming. But my very first day of work, they showed this video that had like VBS in it and camps and Beth Moore events and just church on Sundays and Sunday school material. And just to realize that I have been impacted by Lifeway my entire life, like growing up in church. And so to be able to create that for other people that the Lord allows me to do that is just overwhelming. I love it.
Yeah, that's really cool to be able to give back. I mean, Lifeway is a part of everything. So I cannot imagine the millions and millions and millions of people that you get to impact just through your camps, but I mean, through every detail. I think that's what's really cool. I loved how you were talking about the budgeting. So I tell my students all the time, I have 10 student recruiters that work for me. Mm-hmm. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, every little detail you do is to help someone. So mm-hmm. like whether you are writing thousands of cards, whether you are inputting someone in a database, those behind the scenes things are to help someone. And so I love that you're talking about the budgeting. I thought that was really cool. But and camps, I mean, I went to the camps and I still remember them. I remember walking across Mississippi College campus at Centrifuge. And I remember all of that. So people will never forget the impact you made on them for camp. So thanks for all you do. We do appreciate it. So
thanks, Corey.
It's my awesome. Last question to wrap us up. This is my favorite. We ask everybody this. So tell us three of your current favorites, must-haves, recommendations that all the people need to know about.
Okay. So two of my three are actually books. Like I was telling you earlier, okay. I love to read. And so one's fiction and one's nonfiction. Okay. So the fiction book I think everyone needs to read is called The Last Time I Lied by Riley Sager. And it's kind of like suspenseful. It's about a summer camp and this girl is in a cabin with three other girls. She wakes up and sees them sneaking out of the cabin and they're never seen again.
Wow.
And so 15 years later, she's like gone back to the camp to be a counselor. And she's like going to try to figure out what has happened to these missing girls. And so it is so good. Like I had a friend I recommended to just a few days ago and she called me Saturday around 3:00. She's like, Carrie, I had canceled all my plans today because I had to finish this book.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Good. So that's my first one, fiction book, Last Time I Lied. And then my nonfiction book is called The Lazy Genius Way by Kendra Adachi. And I think this book could go so well with the conversation we're having because the premise of the book is how to be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And so it's really easy to apply. Like it's nonfiction, so she's telling real life stories, but I think it's the best example of being able to apply things in a book as I'm reading them. And like, for example, if you've listened to this podcast and you're like, well, Carrie, that's awesome that you love to make chocolate chip cookies from scratch. Like, I don't even know how to turn on my oven. Well, then you like that could go into your lazy category. Like that would be something that you're lazy about because you just don't care about that. But for me, that's something I want to become a genius at. So like what you're lazy at and what you're a genius at, that's going to be different for everyone. But just identifying those things. So could not recommend.
I've heard about that book from other people, so I need to read it. That's so really cool. Okay.
And then the last one is an album that my church put out. It's called Church of the City. And it has just been so impactful to me. We recorded this album like back in November. So we did a live recording at church on a Sunday morning.
Were you there?
I was there. So,
that's cool.
When you hear those background vocals.
That's you.
But I think the song has just been like the album has just been so impactful, especially it came out in March and there's just a couple of songs that Land of the Living is my favorite song on the album. But then You Keep Hope Alive. Mandisa actually just released a version of that song.
Okay.
That she did with our worship leader, John Reddick. And so if you need something to listen to, I know it can be so weird going into the season and holidays and mm-hmm. things like that. But the Church of the City album, I would highly recommend.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm always looking for good music, good books. And during my 30 books, I'm getting your list. I'm doing it.
I will send it to you as soon as we finish.
I'm going
to
do that. And I'm definitely going to download that album. That is so cool. And Mandisa's one of my girls. I mean, anything she does, I'm all about it. So, yes. Well, I just want to say thank you so much, Carrie, for your openness and for your honesty and for your tips. And you just taking the time to just share so much wisdom with us during a time that this is going to be so valuable to so many people. It was valuable to me about in so many ways. And I just can't wait to kind of pivot my holidays, but also be able to help so many people through this podcast with what you're sharing, because that is some good stuff, girl. And
Corey, it's been so great to catch up with you. And
I know.
Okay, I do have to tell you this one story before we close.
Okay.
So I remember when we were in eighth grade and you were student of the year and you were on the front page You were on the front page of the paper, sitting on your bed, and it said, talk with Tori in letters behind you.
It did?
So, yes, you had it like hanging on your wall or something.
Oh my gosh, I know. This is like my dream of life.
Yes. So when you told me like about this podcast and asked me to be on it, I was like, oh my, like I remember eighth grade Tori having this dream of talk with Tori. Like, I'm so excited for you. Like,
I know, I'm so excited
to get to be a part of this, you know, your dream. For so long.
I know this has been on my heart for years. I mean, eighth grade, like my whole life, when people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say, I want to be a talk show host for my own show called Talk with Tori. And I want to be the person, like, I want to have fun like Kelly Ripa and laugh, but then I want to have normal everyday people and real life stories like Oprah. And like, it's like all come into life. It's just so funny how all of it happened. And just, you know, it's really a story of God just really saying stuff for many, many years. And I didn't listen, kind of like you in Nashville. Not didn't listen because your life worked out, but like,
oh, you, no, I wasn't listening. You can say that.
But like, you just hear it. And like, I've had a list of all these people that I wanted to share their stories. And finally, a couple months ago, man, I was like, okay, well, this is about 10 knocks at me where it's about as clear as day. And I'm either going to listen and roll or I'm just going to put it in a back seat. And so it is an amazing, that is so funny that you remember that. Yeah, Talk with Tori is actually still above my bed at home in my lime green room. Yeah, back in my prime when I was student of the year, it's come a long way since.
Seriously, this has been so much fun. And I really appreciate you just letting me share and be here.
Yes, thanks for sharing. You're awesome. And your story is just so much. And I'm going to link all the fun stuff that you shared with us. And awesome. Y'all follow Carrie for, she gives y'all really good tips on Instagram. And you see her lettering and all of her hosting. And so if you want hosting tips, she's there. So thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Tori.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
If our episode today touched you, inspired you, or brought you some good laughs, we would be honored if you subscribe to the Talk with Tori podcast and left us a quick review. This will give others who are scrolling through the podcast apps the ability to find us. Please share this with all the people in your life so more friends can hear our stories. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this episode brought you joy, love, and spice.